listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Monday show. A few things to go over for you. We're at hometown dates for Jen. We'll update you on that. There was a Bachelor Nation wedding this weekend. Things happening at Stagecoach. I will update you on a show that's been on about 2 months, but I finally got around to start watching it. I'm not all caught up, but as always, I've got questions. And then we've got an update from Jeff Probst on a future season of Survivor. We'll get to all that momentarily. So here we are, halfway through hometown dates for Jen's season of The Bachelorette. If you saw my social media on Friday, her first hometown date was with Marcus Schoberg in Tacoma, Washington. Now, when I was sent these pictures, the first thing I thought was, oh shit, we're not at hometowns yet. They're still in Seattle. But then I was like, wait a second. There's no way, because we know that Marcus had a one-on-one in Seattle. He had the Yellow Brick Road date last Sunday. I was like, there's no way, even if they were still in Seattle, and let's just say like hometowns hadn't started and they did back-to-back episodes in Seattle, nobody would get back-to-back one-on-one dates in the same location. It just wouldn't happen. So I did a little digging, and as you saw me put on my social media post, Marcus lived in Seattle after he was in the Army. That's where all his closest friends are, and I found out that Marcus is not very close with his parents, and it all made sense. I'm like, oh, okay, that's why they're filming his hometown in the Seattle-Tacoma area. I believe Marcus's parents live in Minnesota. So, I mean, I guess there's a remote possibility they flew the parents out to Seattle. I don't know who was on the hometown date, but when I found out that's where he lived after coming back from the Army, and that's where his close friends were, I also found out something in regards to Marcus and the Army, and I guess this is going to be part of his storyline this season. I can't imagine why he wouldn't bring this up, is apparently he almost died in the Army somehow. There was some situation where he almost lost his life. So I'm guessing that's going to play a role in his storyline. I also think the kind of non-relationship that he has with his parents is going to be a storyline. I mean, look, the chances are they did not fly the parents out to Seattle and he did not have his parents at his hometown date. So just the fact that we're going to have a hometown date where we don't meet the guy's parents doesn't happen very often on this show. It has happened before, but it doesn't happen very often. And so Jen's just going to meet his friends and his Army buddies. So keep that in mind. Now, yesterday was hometown date number two. I don't know who it was with. There are no pictures or videos that have gotten out, at least not yet. And I don't know who's got hometown date number three on Tuesday and hometown date number four on Thursday. Hopefully something gets out, but I've been saying it for a month now. I mean, filming started March 28th. Today is April 29th. We're a month into filming. Schedule, pretty much like it always is, in that it takes 1 month in real time to go from however many you start with, 25, 26, 27, 28, to go from the initial starting cast down to four, and then it takes 3 weeks to go from four down to one. So when I posted Marcus's hometown date on Monday, of course, as I do every season, when I post the first hometown date, the responses are, oh my gosh, did that go by way quicker than I thought? And I'm just like, no, it's the same every season. Started a month ago. But if you're not looking for this stuff every single day and you're not covering it, you wouldn't think it started a month ago. You wouldn't remember. And if you don't follow it every season, you wouldn't know to think, oh, wait, yeah, it only takes a month to go from 25 or 30 down to four. That's literally like clockwork every season. 25, 30, however many they start with, down to four takes 1 month in real time. And then it takes about 3 weeks to go from four down to one. So They're on schedule. They just started later in March than they usually do. They usually start around March, anywhere between the 19th to the 21st. This year they started a week later, meaning they're going to end a week later. So Mark is having the first hometown date. Again, you know, there is, you know, 20, you know, at most 27 started the season. And we know that there's four left, and one of them is Marcus. But I just don't have enough information right now in regards to who's home. Let's say they started with 27. We know that there's only four left. So 23 of them are gone. I probably know of about maybe, I'd have to count in my head here, maybe 18 that I know out of the 24 it could be. Maybe about 18 that I know are home. But that leaves about 6 to 8. And only three of them are still remaining. So that's why it's just all guessing and speculating at this point. Obviously, I'm not going to do that. I don't have any hard evidence one way or another on about 7 or 8 guys of where they are. So hopefully something comes out on Tuesday's date, or maybe something comes out today about what happened in yesterday's hometown date. I never know. So I will obviously keep you updated on that. But as soon as I know the final four, you will as well. But yeah, just keep that in mind. They're on the same schedule. It's taken a month. Nothing's different other than they started a week later this year. So anything that I get, I will relay to you of what's going on. Bachelor Nation wedding this weekend, and Nick and Natalie got married. They released a bunch of pigeons after their vows. Okay. Stagecoach, how about that? Stagecoach was very prominent in Bachelor Nation this weekend. A lot of people posting from there. Joey, Kelsey, Maria, Rachel, Jessica, Daisy. I mean, literally his top, what, 6, 7, 8 were there. And again, it brings up this notion that, oh my gosh, like, When you're in the moment and you're watching Joey's season and you see how intense his relationship was with Maria and Rachel and Oma and Daisy. Now, I don't think I saw anything where Joey was hanging out with Daisy this weekend, but Maria was certainly hanging around Kelsey. And I think that Rachel was with them as well. So it just goes to show, like, I know everyone wants to, when they're watching the show, wants to think like, oh my gosh, how are they ever going to get over this or whatever? And here we are months later and they're all hanging out and it's not a big deal, you know? But when you're watching it and you're watching Maria get dumped by Joey at the airplane hangar in favor of Rachel, and you're just like, she doesn't understand why she got released, and then everybody's freaking out online and oh my gosh, and they're calling Joey names and they're dropping racist bombs at Rachel for no reason whatsoever. And then here they are months later just hanging out. Hell, I think Rachel and Maria even did a TikTok reenacting the rose ceremony where Joey chose Rachel over Maria. Like, they don't care. Why should everybody else care when they don't care? You know? It's why you just don't take the show. You should not get overly invested in the contestants. I will never, ever let any relationship on the show affect my life in any way, shape, or form. My job is to give the spoilers and give you any inside information on what you're watching on TV. But I'm not going to be like, yes, queen, deuces. I'm not going to overly praise somebody. I'm not going to put them and tag them in any posts that I ever do. While I let the other Instagram accounts do that, we all know why they do it, because they want them to respond to them and they want to be able to talk to them. Like, we're not dumb, or I'm not dumb. Why do you think Instagram accounts tag contestants in the show? Because they want them to respond. Why do you think Instagram accounts kiss the ass of contestants? Because they want them to respond to them. Name one time in my Instagram history where I have tagged a contestant and praised them. You'll be searching till the end of time, because they don't do it. There's no reason to. My job isn't to become besties with these people. If friendships result from me covering the show, which I do have a few, but I'm not actively searching for them, which is very different. And when I see what's going on this weekend at Stagecoach, you're just like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, I'm glad that Maria and Rachel can be friends and make and laugh at it. But I don't need to repost it. I don't need to tag them and repost it. Like, what? Very, very bizarre to me. But everybody seemed to be having a good time at Stagecoach, to say the least. This podcast is brought to you by Mint Mobile. One of my favorite spring cleaning takeaways in the post-clean clarity is, how have I been living like this? And I think the same thing when it comes to my phone service. Because I think, as like a lot of you, you're probably paying over $100 a month for your phone service. Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch over to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for 15 bucks a month. Why wouldn't you? Why would you rather pay 100 than rather than 15? Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at 15 bucks a month. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for 15 bucks a month. I did it, and I'm immediately knocking 75 to 80 bucks off my monthly bill. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just 15 bucks a month, go to mintmobile.com/realitysteve. That's mintmobile.com/realitysteve. Cut your wireless bill to 15 bucks a month at mintmobile.com/realitysteve. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes and fees and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Also, ladies, you know I've been talking to you about this. I'm going to keep talking to you about this because you don't need the frizzies anymore. You are too busy to be frizzy. Grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. The people that I've sent it to, number one, have noticed the fact that they are losing their frizzes and they're losing them in bunches, and it saves time to their daily routine. One of the big things for them. It provides immediate frizz control, lasts for up to 72 hours, plus it's heat protected up to 450 degrees. It helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching dry hair with intense hydration. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. That's exactly what you want out of an anti-frizz cream, right? Right? Well, that's what you're getting with Way's new anti-frizz cream. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com. That's theouai.com. And enter promo code RealitySteve for 15% off any product. That's theway.com. theouai.com. Promo code RealitySteve for 15% off any product. All right, I want to talk about a show that started a couple months ago. I think there's 7 or 8 episodes that have been released, and I have DVR'd all of them, but I've never got around to watching them, and that is The Valley. I know it comes on right after Vanderpump Rules, but I've just been watching Vanderpump Rules, and I said, I'll get to The Valley later on. So I started watching The Valley this weekend. I only got through the first 2 episodes. And you got to remember something. Because I never watched Vanderpump Rules, the only thing I know about Jax Taylor is what I read in the headlines. And I'm very well aware of who he was before watching The Valley. I knew he was married to Brittany. I knew they had a 2-year-old son named Cruz. And I had heard all the rumors that the guy has just, you know, been cheating on Brittany for years. Admitted to cheating. They've stayed together. I know their situation now, where they're currently separated. But I'd never actually seen him on TV outside of the couple episodes this season of Vanderpump Rules that he appeared on. I gotta say this. Jax Taylor might be one of the most unlikable people that I've ever seen on reality television. And I don't say that lightly. He's just not likable. He thinks his shit doesn't stink. He clearly has run around on Britney. I mean, if you listen to the rumors numerous times, and he might be embroiled in a bigger one going on right now, if you're to believe the rumors that are happening now. But just watching him on TV, he acts like a child. I'm not the least bit surprised that him and Britney aren't together anymore, at least for the time being. And I want, you know, the reason, one of the reasons I wanted to watch starting to watch The Valley was because I did read that basically we're going to see during this season of The Valley the deterioration of Jax and Britney's relationship, why they got to the point that they're at. And you can already see it in the first two episodes. Remember, I've only seen the first two episodes. So I'm sure you're gonna be like, Steve, just wait. He's doing more stupid shit later on in these episodes. And I don't doubt it for a second. It's just hilarious to me that in the first episode, he's talking about the new me, the new Jax. I'm living in the valley. I'm a father with a kid. When it's clear as day, this guy doesn't want to have that role. And maybe I'm going to find out a little bit more and the finances and struggling and opening up your own restaurant. But it just seems like he's never changed. And of the episodes from Vanderpump Rules this season, where Katie has talked about him and Lala has talked about him, where they've basically just said, yeah, I still think he's running around on Britney. And, you know, you hate, and obviously there's a child involved, and I get it, and that's probably one of the reasons why Britney has gone back to him and not wanted to end things. I know they're currently separated now, but who knows? You know, maybe Jack's going to do a 180, or at least for the television cameras, do a 180 to try and win his family back. But I don't trust this guy, especially if the rumor going around right now is true, because that is probably the worst. But regardless, just watching this guy on TV, it is unreal how hot shit he thinks he is. And I don't get it. Like, what? And then the second question I have, which I don't think any of, I'm sure that I'm just late to the party because I started watching the season. I'm sure everybody has this question that's watching the show. Why does Jax care so much about what Kristen does with her body? Yes, I know they have a history. I know they've been friends for 15 years. And yes, Kristen has gone through a lot of guys and dated a lot of guys, whatever. But these first two episodes are Jax just nonstop talking about Kristen and why he doesn't think that she should have a kid. I guess, I mean, look, he's allowed to have an opinion about Kristen. I'm not saying you're not allowed to have an opinion about your friend. But his whole thing is, well, that's what friends do. I'm one that speaks up. I'm one that tells it like it is. I'm real with you. And I just don't think something along those lines, where it's talking about what she wants to do with her body and having a child, that's something that you can maybe talk to Britney about. I don't think you need to call Kristen out on the carpet at somebody's backyard party. What are you doing? He's just an asshole. Like, yeah, there's no other way to describe him. He is so unlikable. And yes, I've heard all the stories about him over the years and seen the headlines and know that he has admitted to cheating on Britney, and she still has not left him up until now. And she's just waiting for him to change. And I don't think he's going to. And if he does, I think it's strictly for the cameras and strictly for a storyline for The Valley to get his, like, redemption arc. But do I honestly think this guy is going to stop running around? No. He's filming a TV show, and he's still running around on his wife. What else more do you need? He ain't stopping. As for some of the other couples, I know I'm only two episodes in, but before I knew I was going to watch The Valley, I've seen stuff online about one of the other couples that are in trouble or are separating. I have to believe that's Jesse and Michelle, right? Like, there's no way it's not them. I mean, they're literally setting it up in the first two episodes that she is not happy with him. And again, another guy that has such a high opinion of himself. I mean, I guess that's what this show is. You got to have somebody, a bunch of alpha males, and you got to have a bunch of guys that think they're hot shit. I mean, shit, that's what Vanderpump Rules is. All those guys think they're God's gift to women. And this Jesse guy, same thing. Like, does he even like his wife? It just, man, oh, man. So I'm guessing that's the couple that is either divorcing or has divorced or in real time is currently separated again. Because I thought I read something somewhere where another Valley couple is currently not together. I can't imagine that it's Jason and Janet, since in real time they'd have like a few month old child. And then the other couple, the Nia and what's his name? I'm forgetting his name, but he's the one that was on iCarly and whatever. They have three kids, right? They just had twins. Yeah, Jesse doesn't. Jesse and Michelle only have one. Nia and her husband, I don't think that they're the ones. It's got to be Jesse and Michelle. And not the least bit surprising watching the first two episodes. But yet again, I'm sucked in. I'll be watching. Now, I'm not going to watch Vanderpump and The Valley every Tuesday night. I'll probably watch Vanderpump first, either Tuesday night or Wednesday afternoons, and then maybe get around to The Valley on the weekend. So I'll always be behind, but hopefully sometime this week I'll get caught up and watch six episodes of The Valley, because I think after this Tuesday's episode there will be six that I haven't gotten to. And finally, Jeff Probst did a live... He did some sort of event where he was interviewed live on stage. People were asking questions this past weekend in L.A. And he basically said on the spot, even though seasons 47 and 48 are filming soon, and then 40 in 2024, seasons 49 and 50 will film in 2025, but 50 won't air until spring of 2026. So they still have three more seasons before they get to 50, but Jeff Probst confirmed that Survivor season 50 is going to be all returnees, which we haven't seen since season 40. Now, is it going to be all returnees from season 41 through 50? Is it going to be mostly from 41 through 50 and then throw a couple legends in there? He doesn't know that, but he did admit season 50 will be all returnees. My guess is they should probably just do 41 to 50. And you're going to get people like, who was the one last season that everybody loved with the Carolyn? Was that her name? I mean, there's so many. There's definitely a group from these last nine seasons where you can get 18 memorable returnees. So I fully expect that. But yeah, good to hear Probst confirmed it, that it's definitely happening for season 50, even though season 50 is not airing until spring of 2026. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also, rate and review, but you got to hit play. It's the only way it counts as a download. Also, you can go to the website, realitysteve.com, as today's podcast will be transcribed as well on there. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate it. Sports Daily will be up in an hour from now, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See you.